The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
Now to the books of the prophets for one major point from each of the 17 books, Isaiah through Malachi. Isaiah 1:18, in concert with the 53rd chapter, which tells us Jehovah laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And through the fountain for cleansing and for sin, the blood of Christ, man had opportunity to be redeemed. The book of Jeremiah has so many rich verses in it, it is difficult to choose just one. But I believe a representative verse is Jeremiah 2:32, where God says to his bride Judah, "Can a maiden forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forsaken me days without number." One of the saddest books in the Bible is the book of Jeremiah. No wonder he was the weeping prophet. He had a lot to cry about. God's people had forgotten, had forsaken Jehovah, had committed spiritual adultery, had turned their back upon things divine and sublime and precious and eternal. And this is a representative book of the prophets. Jeremiah weeps over the disobedience and belligerence of God's bride. In Lamentations 3:40, as Jeremiah laments over the fall of Jerusalem, though he had predicted its ruin, he did not gloat over it and say, "I told you so." He wept over Jerusalem as it went up in smoke, as the temple was destroyed, burned, sacked. He cries in Lamentation 3:40, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to Jehovah." I would recommend that everyone read the book of Lamentations out loud today for its rich, vibrant tones that warm the heart, thrill the soul, and yet break our hearts over the wickedness of the people. In Ezekiel 36, verses 21 to 24, God tells us why he delivered his people from captivity. He said, "You profane my name among the heathen where you've gone, but I'm going to clear it. For my holy name's sake, because a remnant of Abraham's seed proved faithful and penitent, I'm going to restore you to your homeland. For my holy name's sake." And then follows the beautiful valley of dry bones. Ezekiel sees a valley full of dry bones. They come to life. They're revived. God says, "My people who were as good as dead shall be restored for my holy name's sake." In Daniel 4:25, we read, as the statesman of God speaks, God rules in the kingdoms of men. In Daniel 7:13 and 14, we have the extravagantly beautiful passage that tells of the Son of Man passing through the clouds unto the Ancient of Days, and receiving blessing and honor and glory and power and dominion and majesty forever and ever. And when Christ ascended from Mount Olivet, Acts 1:11, he passed through the clouds unto the Ancient of Days, the everlasting doors of glory open wide to receive the King of Glory home, Psalm 24, verses 9 and 10. He sat down with the Father, and a covenant of peace existed between the Father and the Son, Zechariah 6:13. He is the one mediator between God and men, himself, man, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. He ever lives to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. And Revelation 5 says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world to receive blessing and honor and glory and power and dominion and majesty forever and ever." Daniel 7 found its consummation in the coronation of Christ in glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 17:14. Hosea 10:12 reminds us it is time to seek the Lord. Hosea speaks of God's gadding, unfaithful, immoral bride, and how he yearns for her return, and how he makes provisions for her return, how he would redeem and ransom her from the world and from the nations. But he said, it is time to seek the Lord. In other words, you're just about to reap the sad dividends of an improper choice. And unless you come back to me and come back to me now, it is time to seek the Lord. You'll be forever overthrown. Break up your fallow ground, your uncultivated ground. Sow to yourself in tears, reap in mercy. Those that sow in tears shall reap one day in joy, Psalm 126:5. But Hosea's cry, "It is time to seek the Lord," reminds us of 2 Corinthians 6 and Hebrews 3 in the New Testament. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Procrastination has caused many a person to be lost, and millions will be overthrown the day of judgment because they delayed obedience, which they full well knew they must engage in. In Joel, the prophet of Pentecost, since Joel 2:28 is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, Peter said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." We find in Joel 3:14 the magnificent reminder, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And that's where people stand right now, in the valley of decision, because Christ has come, the church was established, the gospel has been preached, and the judgment will ensue. Multitudes in the valley of decision, but too many are making the wrong choice. In Amos 6:1, this unrelenting prophet of doom from Judah comes to the northern kingdom of Israel and taunts them with his preaching. He says, "Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion." He said, "Your worship that you call worship is just noise, ugly, so improper. Woe unto those who are at ease in Zion." I wonder what he would say at the magnificent panoply of materialism and worldliness that overwhelms us today. Woe unto those who are at ease in Zion, who do not take seriously the things of God. Amos 6, verse 1. In Obadiah, the only one chapter book in the Old Testament, we have the statement in verse 3, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." He speaks of the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, who live in Idumea and have a rock-ribbed, impregnable fortress of Mount Seir. "No one can cast us down," they had boasted for years, "and no earthly rule could." God said, "Though you soar as eagle's wings, though your nest is on high, I'll cast you down, for the pride of your heart has deceived you." The profane, secular, shallow, worldly, mundane emphasis of Esau, their forebear, existed in the lives of his descendants in the days of Obadiah. God said, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall, Proverbs 16:18. The book of Jonah has many fascinating verses in it, but I like the statement in chapter 1 that tells us Jonah paid his own fare when he boarded the ship going in the wrong direction. If he had gone where God told him, God would have taken care of the matter. He would have provided a way, access for him. But when Jonah decided to do his will, the devil's service, instead of God's will, obedience to the Father, he paid his own fare. And every sinner always pays his own fare. When we turn our back upon God, God doesn't provide for us to do evil. We have to pay our own way in iniquity. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Jonah paid his own fare.